The meeting today is dealing with the entities of human settlement. We have 8 entities in the human settlement, so those that don't know. So we're dealing with 4 today, so that because next week normally human settlement meets on a Tuesday, and next week's Tuesday is Human Rights Day, it's a holiday. So we're not going to have a meeting next week. So that when we come back that week on the 28th, we then do the remaining 4, so that we are done. Because remember, we are going on constituency periods from immediately after that, from the third. Parliament will be sleeping for a while until the 28th of April. So when we come back, we're coming back on the around the 2nd of May, and that week when we come back, we have to adopt reports because the BRRR process is already starting, and the budget in everything. So we don't want to overstretch ourselves. That's why we then decided that we must have this meeting today. Now, the 3 entities that we're dealing with, the 4 actually, the first 3, we had presentations on them as the portfolio committee, because remember, these are the entities that are consolidated into one. These are the entities that ultimately they are going to be the Development Human Settlement Bank that will be launched around the 22nd of April. So what we will do then, we will ask my learned friend here to present a consolidated report on all 3, but you've got reports on all of them. But we're not going to get to report one by one, because by the time we come back, anyway, these entities will be one. But you've got the presentation in front of you, so that we don't really waste time. You've got the information, but if you want to ask specific questions on any of the presentation, you are free to do that. But I just felt that it's not going to help us to actually do a presentation one by one. So that's what we're going to do. And then we will then get a presentation of the Housing Development Agency. But before we do that, we do have apologies that we need to record. Members, both Honorable Baker and Honorable Malatsi have apologized. They have the DA has got its political program in Johannesburg. That's what they said. They are doing a development program. So that's why they are not here. Honorable Shelembe has just apologized this morning. He has to go to KwaZulu-Natal urgently to meet his legal team. Honorable Makause is on deployment from her party in KwaZulu-Natal. So we do have those apologies. But the nice thing is that these meetings don't need necessarily a quorum, because these are presentations, even though we have anyway the quorum, because we asked it with me, because there's Honorable Memes here. But otherwise, even if we were 2, we would still have continued. So I just want members to appreciate and apologize for inconvenience. that we convene this meeting on a Friday. It is even though it is a convenience, ultimately it is an inconvenience for today, but it's a convenience for you for next week. Because next week, the whole of next week, we are not having any work of the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlement. So I thought it's important to stress that. Okay, can we start then? And make sure that extra leg of Honorable Bam Gwanya doesn't disturb the meeting and want to be the extra member here. If we can just behave and allow Samson to present to us. I'll hand over to DG Neville, and then he will outline the presentation. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, just to note the apology of the DG Chair, I think he indicated that he's tasked with the Imizamo-Yetu matter, as well as the Blue Dawn's military veterans matter that's been dealt with today. So he asked for apology and asked that I stand in for him. Chair, just to also indicate that Mr. Molloy is on his way. He said he's arrived yet. And then Mr. Viwe Gweta from the Nurture will join us in the next few minutes. He's stuck at the reception, so he'll be joining us. Thanks, Chair. Chair, as indicated, I'm not going to elaborate further. As you've indicated, Mr. Moraba, who is the CEO for the NHFC, the National Housing Finance Corporation, will do the presentation. And in relation to this, the National Housing Finance Corporation is the entity in which we are consolidating both Nurture and Ralph. So Mr. Moraba is sufficiently delegated to do that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you so much. Those that attend the committee frequently, even from PMG, you will remember this presentation was done when we were at M314.
M514?
Yeah, that's right. At Max Building, so it's not a something that we are not familiar with. Over to you, Sam.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Chair, what I want to clarify is that the annual performance plan of the three entities have been consolidated in the presentation that I'll be giving. So in terms of financials, in terms of impact, is actually the sum total of the individual presentations that you have as members. So what can happen, as the Chair has described, is that if you've got any specific questions relating to impact, relating to numbers to the specific entities, those may be asked at the end. But the numbers, as you see here, are the actual numbers that come from each individual entity, but put together in a consolidated form to give effect to, firstly, the transition from individual entities to NHFC and from NHFC to the Human Settlement Development Bank. So, Chair, I will go straight to the, because this is about the annual performance plan, so it's not about presenting this. Firstly, I'd like to explain through you, Chair, that the capital allocations for the 3 years, which is exactly as it is in the APP, which is 2017, 2018, 2018-19, and 19-20. So it's for those 3 years plans, the medium-term expenditure framework. What that gives us is a sense in terms of what has the human settlement budget vote has been in terms of allocation to the three entities. As we can see, we have added both NHFC, Nurture, and RALF. In the total column is the sum total of the amount of money that has been allocated to the three entities in their annual performance plan, which is about 541 million. And the translation of that, the translation of that is the actual balance sheet of the NHFC after the consolidation. So 2018, 2019, and 2020, represents the sum total of RALF, NATURE, and NHFC put together for those 3 years. In other words, the balance sheet of NHFC or the consolidated entity will move from 4 points. At the moment, as we speak, it's 4.6, and in 3 years' time, it will be 5 billion. That's the sum total, which is your 2018, 2019, and 2020. That's better, Chair. So you could see the colors of the 3 years are the same. It's really the, having added each one of those entities and giving us the total balance sheet capacity.
No, we are fine. You can see clearly now.
And then, Chair, just briefly, just to explain a number of things that come up from that consolidation. Firstly, I'll start at the bottom left, which is what the balance sheet told us, which is the loan assets. As you can see, the loan assets, because of the consolidation, the three entities are actually growing, but very incrementally in 2018, 2019 and 2020. That's just as it stands at the moment based on the allocation given. But what is healthy, Chair, is that for the three entities, when it comes to their cash flow or money available to do business, which is the liquidity, which is the top graph, actually does indicate that from 18, 19 and 20, it's steadily actually goes up, but almost like it's slightly flat, but actually goes up. So it's not really a danger part, just because we have consolidated the entities. When it comes to operating cost and profitability, one of those indicators, the red, is profit before tax, and then the profit before tax, and the blue is profit of the operating income. You can see that it's actually steadily moving up in during the years 2018, 2019, and 2020. And what is also pleasing, Chair, is that the efficiency of the entities after the consolidation, which is reflected into the graph of the efficiency of operating expenses, we can see that the operating expenses is actually coming down because of the consolidation. The blue line, it goes up, but then it comes down, which actually shows that there are efficiencies that are going to be benefited because of the consolidation. But, Chair, what is, I think, would be concern to the Portfolio Committee is housing opportunities. Housing opportunities, as we see from 18, 19, and 20, those are slightly coming down, even in relatively small amounts. And this, the reason behind that, Chair, is that no new money has been given to the entities to do a greater business. This is what we can call a base zero of the Human Settlement Bank. This is just as we have been allocated, and what we have done, we've just done a sum total. And therefore, Chair, we will come back to the Portfolio Committee probably after June, and that's when we'll have at least have defined in terms of what is the kind of capitalization that the Human Settlement Development Bank actually requires so that it can scale up its delivery in terms of housing opportunities. So what we're seeing now is just a reflection of putting the three together, and this is the total impact that will be experienced in the marketplace because of the operational consolidation. So, Chair, this sort of like the analysis of the consolidation from financial perspective, from a housing opportunities perspective, and from the benefits that will accrue because of the consolidation. One, liquidity. The other one is profit before tax and the efficiencies in actually doing the consolidation. What is only left now is with the approval of the business case and enabling act, then a capitalization will be given to the Human Settlement Development Bank, which will actually demonstrate higher impact and even greater efficiency than what we're seeing right now. So, Chair, that's really the summary of the three APPs of nature of RALF and NHFC, if you put those together, that's the picture that they give us as we speak right now, which is the zero base of where the bank will begin before capitalization. I think, Chair, that's that is the end of the presentation as far as the APPs are concerned. And I can say to the Portfolio Committee, we are hard at work at the moment with the operational integration. And also we are finalizing the business case and enabling legislation for the Human Settlement Bank, which we plan to take it through the approval process from as of end of May, beginning of June. And thereafter, as I say, we'll come back later in the year to come to give a picture of this is the business case of the Human Settlement Development Bank, and this is the capitalization need that it will require for it to deliver according to the expectations of the market. Thank you, Chair. I'll take questions, Chair.
Thank you very much, Samson. As we know, the last financial year that we are about to finish, the three entities have been hard at work consolidating the three entities. So when Mr. Koeta and Mr. Fakaz were late in the meeting, we decided then that because they know they are consolidating anyway, let's allow Samson to represent you and present on your behalf the consolidated report for the two of you, rather than wait for you for the gentleman. But also the other comforting thing is we were saying the presentation is not new to us. As the Portfolio Committee, we are aware of the progress that is being made because you've been in front of us before to present. So that's why we were not that worried much. That's the report, honorable members. Clarities, questions? Honorable Stole and honorable Memezi and honorable Ngakakarash.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first of all, I want to apologize because when they were in the portfolio committee, I was not there. I was at Public Works. Now I have only two questions. My first one is what is going to happen on the assets? Because now they are consolidating, because they have different assets. And then another thing, Chairperson, that question I did ask it, but they about the vacancy. There will be no vacancy in this new development. And then the last one, Chairperson, is about the rural areas, because If you check the coming down of new, according to them, they say they are coming down of new money. So it means they started from zero. My concern is the loan that's supposed to go to rural areas. Are they going to help them as it was helped by RALF? If that insurance is there, I can be very happy, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stole. Honorable Mimes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think let's appreciate the report, summarized and consolidated report. I'm interested on the picture that shows analysis with some graphs on various areas. Yeah, that one. On liquidity, it seems to worry in that 2015-2016 is promising, is good, but as it go down from 2017-2018-2020, it's really gone down. So one would need explanation, what is the meaning of that? Why is it? Why is that line going down? Because it was stopped on 2015-2016, the falling line. So let's understand what is the meaning of that drop from, because it was high. Also on efficiency, I'm fine with operating profit versus profit before tax. The line, both lines continue to show that you are gaining momentum, you understand your work, you are maneuvering. But when it comes to efficiency on OPEX and advances, the percentage cost there of the income, the line from 2013-2014 is just going down almost all the way to 2020. And efficiency, does that mean you are losing it? You're doing as, you know, please, there's no efficiency in operation. So I need that comfort to be clarified, the meaning of those lines. Because when the line goes down, I think it is going down, because that's what it is showing. Maybe the clarification would make me comfortable, otherwise it's really worrying me. So that's one area that is worrying me. Maybe the general point which we want to put to all the entities and the department when they come is the fact that in South Africa we are now 23 years or 20 so years in the democracy. The Constitution says we have a duty, a responsibility to reverse the imbalances of the past caused by apartheid. The Constitution is clear, we must reverse it. Which means in our dealing, in whatever aspect, whether it's employment, whether it's... So we must reverse the legacy of apartheid so that those people who were marginalized by apartheid, slowly they must feel empowered. So in whatever we do, in our services, in whatever we do, so that aspect of empowering those that were marginalized should always be occupying. But we tend to see in many aspect that it may not be in your some of these entities because you are a bank, so we may not see much. But in entities such as SDA, so they really have to show more seriousness on transformation and empowering those that were not. We tend to worry that we continue to empower those that were empowered. So where are you are buying your services, who are you buying from, are you empowering those that were ignored previously? So I think those areas would be a general question that we'll put in all the presentation, because it's something that those that are CEOs must understand that there should be a change. Let's empower those that were not empowered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Memezi. Honorable Mangasabashi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join the colleagues in appreciating the presentation with an understanding that the full presentation of the three DFIs that are being consolidated was presented to us, as Honorable Stole indicated. Indeed, we were aware of his apology. And having said that, Chairperson, I just want to get into the transformation of banks. So because this is our new bank, it's a golden opportunity for us as we begin to deal with the transformation in our development, our Human Settlement Development Bank that we are establishing. Because if we don't introduce it now as we are starting, we might lose the essence in the process that we are building with all other things that we need to have in order to make the bank sustainable and whatnot, and just lose the, and put it aside and shelve it there, because it's something that in most banks we're not really seeing the transformation being a priority on the agenda. So wouldn't want the bank that is a agency of government falling within that trap as well. There have been other banks that are entities of government in different provinces, but I want to believe this will be one of those major ones that needs to lead by example. So at some stage, Chairperson, would like to receive a presentation on how the department and the consolidated entities and the information of this new Human Settlement Development Bank are looking at the transformation within that establishment. Having said that, Chairperson, in our previous presentation, we did ask and were given responses in terms of assets and liabilities, and we'll also listen when you respond to the question of Honorable Sithole. And but having received that assets and liabilities, are they being built? That's the next my question now. Are they being built? Also, is the loan assets being built on those items that I've mentioned that was among those who raised that kind of a question? And then the liquidity is the one that also I would like. How is it linked to the liabilities that we raised at the beginning? And if operating profit and versus profit before, it might be premature. But what percentage are you looking at in terms of acquiring those profits and yeah, Chairperson. And then the last one, Chair, is to request that we at some stage we get this presentation, because we did not get the consolidated one. We have three different presentations. This summary, executive summary, is a very good summary. Even if it's just a two-page, we would still like to have it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Emma. Maybe if you can just beam the slides again, where I think it's slide 30, where you have the one that was on now, the one that has got the graphs that Honorable Nemezu was asking. I think it's slide 30. Can you help me? Anyway, whilst they are busy with that, the last graph there talks about the housing opportunities, and I think the presenter also alluded to that, the fact that there is a decrease in housing opportunities. Now my question there is, maybe we need to understand, if there is going to be a decrease in housing opportunities, how does that affect outcome 8 of the National Development Plan in terms of what we want to do? And also the target of the department in terms of making sure that by this end of this term, we would have created 1.5 million housing opportunities. Now, if these DFIs are having a decrease in housing opportunities, how then does that affect what the department wants to do? And how are you going to mitigate that in terms of making sure that that downslide doesn't continue going down? some point we need to see it going up, because if it continues going down, then we are having a challenge. I just wanted to have that sense and maybe explain to us as well. Because remember, we had said we want to have made sure that by 2030 we had dealt with the issue of the housing trajectory. Now, if we are going to have entities that are coming to say there's a dip in housing opportunities, how then does it affect the entire? So my question is based on that. And I want to reaffirm what Honorable Mkangaqabashe has raised in relation to the bank itself that is still at infancy stage. Because remember, the financial sector in general in the country is not transformed. So if we are going to, as human settlement, we are starting, I'm talking about this graph, this housing opportunity graph, that the last one. You see there's a dip there. And and I wanted to have that sense. If then we're going down. So I'm sure you got my answer, my question there. And my second part is this thing of we're dealing with a new development bank that is a human settlement one. Now I'm saying, as Honorable Mkabashe has said, the financial sector in the country is not transformed. It would be amiss of us as this portfolio committee not to stress the fact that when we form this bank, let's not then follow what the normal banks are doing in terms of them not being transformed. Let's rather be the example and be exemplary in making sure that we are a bank that is going to have all the hallmarks of a transformed bank, and what it is that is we're going to make sure that it deals with the issues of the radical economic transformation in the country, and making sure that at least our people are having access, so that the terms that it has are not the terms that are going to be the same as the normal bank. What would be the use of having this bank then, you know? So, and I think for me, that's one of the big things. Those two, if they can be explained, I'm quite comfortable. The issue of the housing opportunities and the issue of the transformation of this bank. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. My colleagues are here now. I'm safe. Otherwise, I would have had all this barrage of questions alone. Chair, but let me deal with the two, I think, very hot issues. One is the housing opportunities, and the other one is transformation. What that picture says in housing opportunities, if we remember, Chair, this is a medium-term expenditure framework for the next 3 years. If you did nothing with the entities, because one of the slides I showed about how capital has been allocated to the entities, you can see in that in 2018, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, there's only one entity, in fact, Ralph gets an allocation of 50 in just 17-18. Thereafter, the only one entity that got allocation was NHFC. Nature, there's no allocation made to it. So to that extent, the sum total of the money available to make impact is actually reduced, because in total, it left as it is. That's why we speak about those are the plans, but these plans, as I say, are going to change, because they're going to come back to you after June and come back and say the business case says the following: this is the amount of money that this consolidated entity is going to need. So that picture was just reflecting the status as it was planned, without any new money being put into place. And so when we come back, you will see that will change based on the business case, because there will be capitalization. That's the assumption we're making, that we'll go to National Treasury and ask for capitalization for the Human Settlement Development Bank, and it will change that outcome that we see as it is. Otherwise, Chair, you said that left as it is, we can see that it's not to the advantage of the human settlement outcome aid delivery. Something needs to be done, and something that is different. and it is going to be done as part of this process. So in terms of that housing opportunities, we will see a change of that when we come back with appropriate capitalization for the entity. I don't know if my colleagues want to add on that point, if any.
No, I think we have covered it nicely.
Okay. Now, the second one, Chair, is the one of transformation. And I must say that just for the sake of the committee, I know we did this presentation, but one of the pillars, it's just that it's yellow, but anyway, one of the pillars, that is the second yellow to that yellow, which are the foundations of this bank, is support effective transformation of the human settlement sector. That's one of the pillars of the bank. It's a deliberate pillar because exactly precisely for what you have said, that the financial services sector is not transformed. And I think the bank would have failed if we did everything and we didn't do that. And now as one of the pillars that will underpin this bank is a deliberate effort to bring transformation. What we mean by that, because let me also say that we will be embarking on economic and enterprise development. Now, what that says is we will be playing a very catalytic role as the Human Settlement Development Bank to attract investors and other lenders to make sure that they actually bring their money where they would not ordinarily actually do so. We will also make available risk capital, which is the amount of money that you know you're going to go into a business, but because it's a startup, because it's emerging, because it's new, because there's a market failure, you may eventually regain that money or even lose it, but at least you've created a market that was not there before. And I think you can talk about emerging contractors, you can talk about emerging developers or startups that need some kind of intervention to bring them into the economic cycle, people who have been previously disadvantaged. And Ralph, you could talk about some of the vehicles that you'll be using to deliver. They'll be needing capacitation and support, and all that is money which is really meant to transform this market. But also what we mean by that is in IDC they talk of creating black industrialists, but here we're talking about creating black property entrepreneurs, because the ownership of property in most instances is in the hands of whites. And what we're saying is an opportunity is presenting itself that we should be deliberate about this, that we create a new caliber of entrepreneurs that are going to be involved in property development or acquisition. But also what we mean by that is that some of the projects that we talk about, they require what we call project preparation. Now, that money sometimes is money that could go to the design, to the feasibility. It's risk money before you even start with the project. Now, at the moment, DBSA is able to do that so that it can actually make those projects attractive and bankable, and then it does a development. In fact, HDA will be involved in those kinds of projects. But those projects need a risk to be taken upfront, and that's part of the transformation that we're talking about. And so it is a pillar of the bank. It's something that is not by chance. We won't say we're doing this, and no, it's a deliberate exercise that we'll be doing that. But Chair, where we may bring back to you, which I'm sounding out, is to effectively do transformation, you need a different kind of support financially. You can't borrow money to do transformation because you need to be paying interest back. So you need to be able to integrate and coordinate your funding in such a way that you're able to take your money and use it for these purposes. And so, to that extent, I can assure the committee that as far as transformation is concerned, we are deliberate. And even in our asking for capitalization, these are some of the considerations as to what extent we want to do that. And,
I support the explanation that Mr. Moraba has given, because that is the major challenge. Just as an example, in our case, if you look at our intermediaries, most of them are white owned. So the challenge is how do we then enable previously disadvantaged people like blacks, especially women, who are better positioned in our target market to enter into this industry. So that's a challenge that the bank will have to take. But I think the chairperson also touched on another aspect of transformation, which is enabling access, you know, to housing finance to people who have always had a challenge, you know, to access housing finance. I think that will be an important element of the bank as well. Just as an example, if you look at what we've been trying to do as RALF, which I believe that the bank will also take into account, is to say, let's differentiate, I mean, say the cost of credit for the people who are accessing housing finance. Our pricing policy is designed to say, let's give a discount to our intermediaries so that they can pass it, or pass the benefit of the low interest rate to the borrowers in the target market. And that is part of transformation, because those people are low income, and some of them are informally employed and self-employed. They don't have consistent or monthly income. So we need to actually transform the manner in which we enable them to access credit. That would be my addition, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Porter, we just want to hear your voice.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to touch on, there was a question that was raised by Honorable Memezi about efficiency. And I'm not going to answer that, Honorable Member, but I would want to put a challenge that when we deal with issues of transformation and mechanism, we would want to pose the question of inefficiency in a positive light and developmental light. Because when we innovate on new products, we should not kill products on the basis of volume. We should be able to innovate on products even if at the early stages then don't carry the necessary volume, because we are testing new things that are transformative. I want to make an example. When we were testing what we call the CFDP on small contractors that have never stood on their own and building, the issues of inefficiencies were there as a debate, but in a positive fashion to say there are extra costs in terms of supporting these contractors, and therefore those extra costs could be defined as inefficient, but they are necessary costs to give entry to those people. And the conversation that we had with the National Department was the subsidization of those costs, and that's where the grant from the department came in to subsidize the extra costs of doing that program. So there will be programs that need to be initiated, and at the early stages they would be inefficient for commercial banks to get in there. But as a DFI, we need to initiate them and mainstream them in the market. So to me, that would be the positive talk about inefficiency in a developmental fashion. Thanks.
Just to add to that, and that's why, Chair, we raised the issue of how the bank is funded will determine how much of its risk capital it will be allocated for these new ventures, innovation, and all that. But maybe overall, the bank needs to be efficient as an entity, because at the end of the day, more money should be going to the projects than to any other thing, as far as it is concerned. So as I just wanted to explain, that blue line actually is, which is cost-to-income ratio, is actually coming down, which is a good thing. It moved from whatever percentage that was high, 80, and it is coming down to 40. And so that is a good sign. It means for every person in the business and the volume of business it does, the ratio is actually healthy. So over time, the bank needs to be like that, because the other reason why we want to keep it like that is that if you're going to be borrowing funds from the lenders outside, then they'll look at that and see how efficient, how well are you using the money that is given to you. And that's really an indication of that. Over time, it should be coming down. And liquidity, which is another question that was asked, this is money that is available to do business. As I did indicate, because of the allocation, initial allocation for the first 3 years, that money is not growing. And at the same time, we're disbursing this money to whatever the commitments we have. And if there's no more money coming in, even though it looks healthy, but it's on a decreasing basis. But what we're saying is with the capitalization, that picture will also change. And then lastly, the question about assets and liabilities. Both assets and liabilities of NESH and RALF will be consolidated into the NHFC balance sheet. All of them. In fact, part of the discussion, we are now talking to some of the funders of NESH, which is PIC, and we're also talking to DBSA, which is funding RALF, so that we take over those loans, which will now be part of that consolidated balance sheet. So we're taking everything, because that's going to be, in the end, what the bank is going to be responsible for going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Very much, gentlemen. I think it's, as we conclude, I think for me, as you are almost finishing this process of consultation, very important that the key policy funding implementations are critical. Because remember, if we're talking about transformation, these key policies on funding should really move away from what the national bank does, particularly in terms of borrowing and paying interest. And how then do we deal with those? So for me, when you come back, as Honorable Ngakabashe has said, to give us that detail, it's important for us to see that shift. So that talks to real, what is it that we're talking about when we're talking about you being a transformative bank as compared to ABSA or FNB or Standard Bank. So for me, that's very key to me, to see that shift and that difference. But obviously, you will be coming back. Looks like we are going to have a love-hate relationship until the 22nd of April. Until we are able to understand each other and we are on the same page. So, no, there won't be any divorce. We promise you, there's no divorce on in the pipeline. We just want to make sure that the transformation agenda is firmly on track. That's one area that we're not going to be playing with. So that means, remember, when you were here last, we were told DDG that they are launching on the 22nd of April, 20th of April. They want to launch, not necessarily, but launch to say, we are here, we are this new kid on the block, even if they are not fully functional yet, but just to be known. So it doesn't need that mean that you need to come before you launch, but probably immediately after that launch, you would have to come back here and tell us what were you launching. it's obvious. No, they are asking if we are invited. That goes without saying. I mean, really, how do you launch a human settlement bank and the portfolio committee is not invited? That goes without saying. But I'm just saying you come back here and you come detail to us what is it that you were launching. But thank you so much. I think that takes care of the three entities. We hope at least when we deal with APPs, in the next financial year, we will be dealing with 6 now instead of 8, Honorable Mangatabash.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Now that takes us to the next entity, which is the Housing Development Agency, to come and present to us. Yeah, we... Mr. Chen, we are waiting for the Housing Development Agency.
Mr. Molloy is here, Chair.
Okay. He has decided to grace us with his presence at last. as they are presenting, don't waste time on the... on the vision and mission and everything. We want the meat.
Yeah.
We know those things. Please tell us what matters. We want what matters.
Hmm?
what matters the most? You can just gloss through the others, but tell us what matters the most. And whatever that we have created you for, are you doing it? That's all we want to hear. Thank you so much, and welcome CEO of the Human Development Housing Development Agency. See, because housing is human, I'm even human development agency. Mr. Pascal Moloi, are they helping you there?
I can't find a network connection.
Okay, I've been empowered.
Okay. Then you can. Are you alone?
Yes, Chair, I'm alone.
Okay.
I hope my...
Are you a one-man army?
I'm a counter. The accounting officer. Chair, I think you're correct to say human. That's the remember that the transformation, our transformation is really pushing the emphasis away from housing development agency to becoming a human settlements development agency. This you know I won't bore you with, except maybe to underline the last paragraph there, that the minister's request for us to become a developer is not something new outside the act as it stands at the moment. Those provisions in section 7.1 A and L covered sufficiently. These are, I think, our known expectations. I'm sure they've been shared with you before. How we interpret what the executive authority, which is the minister, expects from us, and we hope from time to time we'll be reporting against those 7 points. This is how we've been rolling out some of those 7 points up to now, and these are all about us contributing to the ministry and the department meeting its MTSF targets. I won't go through some of them in detail, but it's ongoing work that we're doing in the N2 Gateway, ongoing work that we're doing in Nelson Mandela Bay and the Snom Zamo programs. Continuing new work, I think, that keeps coming up. Some of it albeit ad hoc from Gauteng, but we still continue doing work. These are physical projects and programs that we're running on the ground that I'm outlining there. People, and especially the minister, keeps asking us, therefore, what is your mandate now, Pascal, or the HDS? And this is how we've now coined it, is that the housing agency is the ministry's and the department's and government's human settlements developer of choice. And we do three things. We carry responsibilities as a fully-fledged developer, and these challenges and hopefully the opportunity to start doing that would be with the large catalytic projects that we are busy assessing and getting approved. But in some instances, we'll be implementing agent. We're implementing agent as we speak in Gauteng in a number of projects. We're implementing agent in Nelson Mandela, in Lephalale, in Limpopo and other places. But in some instances, we'll just be a project manager. A project manager working between either a developer, an existing developer, maybe a private developer, and an existing implementing agent, which could be a municipality or a province, and would be just be requested to play a project manager role. This role is becoming much more important, and we've made had those requests between Konobia, between Tongat, between Etekwini, and the province of KZN. There we won't be an implementing agent, we won't be a developer, but we will be a project manager. We've had this statement of intent and some of our objectives. There are seven of them that are critical about land acquisition and dealing with land, about packaging projects. We are about delivering partnerships, especially with the private sector. We'll mobilize, coordinate, and invest funds. We'll hopefully, with Moraba and them coming up as a human settlements development bank, we are already putting ourselves in line to be their major client or one of their key clients. We'll facilitate resolution of blockages. From time to time, government will come to us to assist in resolving blockages. We'll continue monitoring and implementing human settlements projects. But most importantly,
we will be driving a transformation and empowerment agenda of the sector, of the department, to ensure that transformation and empowerment in human settlements industry as a whole happens. We thought we'd share with you the emerging framework that we've been working on. We've proposed some of it to the minister. It's yet to be approved by the minister, but this is what we're putting up as a transformation framework, which hopefully can be translated into a human settlements transformation and empowerment code with targets. The first one is around radical responses on catalytic transformation regarding ownership. So when we get into agreements or negotiations or talks with any project proposer, would want to see their ownership credentials. We commanding or demanding that there should be at least 40% black ownership, and that if that's not in place, they must commit. They must tell us that they're going to have, make it happen in a year, in 2 years, or in 7 years, or whatever, but it should be a realistic commitment that's believable, that the minister and ourselves and the industry would be happy to sign off on. Secondly, it's women empowerment. That's already an existing provision, 30% of women. Direct ownership, also, if you, even if you say that's 40% black, they should also be indicating about 30% women ownership. But we're also looking at management control, both in terms of the first one around black ownership. It's also what percentage of managers in the control of the company or the developer or the proposer is actually black. We need to look at structured youth programs. We putting a proposal there that a ratio of about 100 young people trained in projects for every 10 million that's spent on development. And training is not just in construction or in the human settlements related industries. It could be anywhere. If you're contributing to a PhD student a salary or bursary, that could count. But at least there should be about 100 trained youth in every 10 million rands that's spent. Then the next big one is the preferred panel of suppliers. We want also to transform the supply side. Where do we get our supplies from? Where do we get our timber from? I'm not sure how far the value chain we can go, but is it possible for us to be able to determine where the timber comes from? Does it come from a transformed timber farm, or what do you call it, plantations? But the intention here is not only to look at the construction side or the developer side, but also to start looking at the material supply side as well. Again, 40% ownership should be the minimum, that's black in that industry. But we also suggest that a minimum of 10% should be set aside for direct community benefits. Then the last one is a preferred panel of contractors and subcontractors. Who are you subcontracting to? Who are your contractors? Again, we'd want to see 40% black ownership, with 10% of that being sourced, or maybe there's direct benefit from the communities that the projects might be happening in. Chair, I'll skip the next two slides. I think you've seen or we've talked about these before, that why are we doing this? We responded to specific problems in the industry, from the high need for housing to the lack of transformation and fragmentation. And this is how we've been presenting ourselves as responding to those challenges. We've now concluded this business model from start to exit, from the point that we enter into a human settlements development space until we exit. I'll skip this slide as well, but the important one is to also demonstrate to yourselves, I don't think we've ever come back to you, Chair, and share with you how we structured, how we're capacitating ourselves to play this role and this new mandate that we have. This is how it looks like a couple of months ago. You'd realize that the emphasis there was on land and housing support services. There was not much in terms of project implementation or project initiation in the manner that I've been talking about. I'm not sure if you're familiar with our board members. I think it just occurred to me that maybe members of the portfolio committee might not be your favor with some of our board members. least to say that we have vacancies. We are in communication with the minister to fill three or four of our vacancies. So the next time we present, hopefully it will be a much fuller picture. This is how we are structured now. We have an organization now that's structured at two big levels. On the one hand, it's your operational performance management section, and on the other hand is your delivery management section. And under the delivery management sections, we'd have your national programs, we'd have your built environment in the main, supporting all the nine regions across the country. In fact, this slide shows it much better on the built environment side, that we have established a command center, which is located in the office of the CEO, with a person just managing and heading that command center. It coordinates the two streams of national programs on the one hand, which largely works with the national government or national department around programs like NASP, programs like your money in towns, etc. And once they get translated into implementable projects on the ground, the built environment management section kicks in. We've divided the country, like I say, into these three broad regions. Sometimes the minister calls them old provinces, but they are not. But in each and every province would have a presence, would have an office. We've established offices in all but Mpumalanga, Northwest. And in Gauteng, we are not establishing a separate office because our head office is located there. So the head office also doubles up as a Gauteng office. So each and every office will be growing into one. It will start off as project management offices. If we have five projects that we're running in Gauteng, whether it's Lufereng or Savannah, Malibongwe, and others, that project management office will be responsible. It's responsible now for rolling out projects in Palm Ridge, in Mapias, and in other places. We will be hopefully establishing an office soon in Mpumalanga. The intention here, Chair, is not only to be delivering our own silo functions. The intention also is that we will be able to house other functions that sister departments carry out. So if there's also a need for communities to interact or project managers to interact with water, transport, or energy, etc., hopefully we'll get to a point where there's an agreement across the other departments as well for those offices to be used for that purpose. Minister is pushing us also very strongly that those offices should be accessible to communities as much as possible. I think on the community side, we are much more accessible to community functions like title deeds, registration, beneficiary management in varying levels. The Cape Town office does a lot more of that than you would have in the PE office. PE office largely deals with contractors and the problems of the day. But the intention is that it's not just about project management or contract management, but it should also include community liaison and community interaction as well. This slide is maybe it's a corporate slide that don't expect too much from us at the same time overnight, Chair. That is a process. We're building this process. At the moment, yes, we are getting into agreements with provinces based on medium-term operating plans. We hope to get to a point where we're assigned programs and we're assigned responsibilities as a developer or a project manager. But ultimately, as I said in our mandate slide, that ultimately we will be playing a developer, implementing agent, and project manager role with additional and separate operational direct recapitalization, direct operational grants. Hopefully we'll get the DORA revised and we'll be able to get capital directly and not through provinces or through the department. The APP, some of the highlights that what we're doing well. We've divided the APP into three sections instead of going through boxes line by line. The first slide is things that we think we're fairly comfortable to do. With all of them will require effort, but I think it's the level of effort that we might be challenged to put in. Building and continuing to build and implementing our business case, we think that we are on track, repositioning ourselves into an effective public sector development agency. implementing a developer-focused organizational structure, establishing systems and databases. Like I said, that we've got a command center, it would require systems and all that. Interpreting and implementing an updated and responsive human settlements master spatial framework and investment plan, and ensuring effective technical support. Those are the things that we fairly feel comfortable that with the current resources that we have, we will continue being able to carry out. We have challenges, though, and the big one is the ensuring and monitoring a budget and a financial model that caters for the HDA as a financially sustainable and stable developer. This is an ongoing battle that we have. We always make submissions through MinCompat, and ultimately the budget allocations won't, and given, I think, also the constraints that the fiscus is facing at the moment, won't get every cent that we require. So it's going to continue being a challenge going forward. Accelerating the identification, acquisition, and release of strategic land and properties aligned to the MSP for human settlement. The transition that we're trying to make, Chair, is that we are not just going to be continuing acquiring land. You need to be pushing us on how much of the land that's acquired is zoned, how much of the land that is acquired is translated into finished projects on the ground. We have 2,500 hectares of land on our books, and a significant of the number of those hectares still need rezoning, and we need to be pushed a bit on that. So it's a challenge. Implementing good governance practices, I think it might sound like that's an obvious thing to do, but in most cases, because we work in partnership with others, with provinces, with municipalities, our intergovernmental relations work gets challenged from time to time, and it's something that we'd want to continue grappling with and making sure that we're able to deliver. I'm not reading all of them. Deliver and support services for land for land for human settlements. That's an ongoing work that the HDA, I think, since establishment has been doing, but we'll have to continue doing that, and it will require a little bit more effort. This is where most of our effort, or maybe most the biggest challenges that we'd have. Project financing, modeling, and capital raising. We are being set up to be a developer. And anyone who plays in that space will tell you that there are only two critical elements for you to succeed. One is money and land. So if you don't have access to land and you don't have money, you can't be playing in the development management space. We have access to land. We have we're fairly comfortable with the access that we have to land, or the levers that we have, our working relationships with other government partners, public works. We sit in different fora, but our ability and our model as it stands at the moment doesn't necessarily allow us to go into the capital markets. We get people coming through to us in Ntate Moraba from time to time that we have money for you, we don't even have the capacity to absorb that. If you want to raise loans, our balance sheet doesn't allow us to raise the type of development finance capital that would require. So it's something that we're working with GTEC at the moment, we're getting advice from, and hopefully we might be able to propose a stronger method for the HDA to be funded and a strong financing model going forward. Building intergovernmental and private partnerships supported by a communication strategy that drives impact integration and delivery. Part of that is also getting into the transformation agenda and empowerment agenda. But it also includes seriously getting into financial modeling, that what is it, the legal agreements that we'll have to sign, and be able to sign off on very strong bound contracts with partners, particularly private sector partners. That capacity we still have to build internally. Capacitate and structure the HDA as an employer of choice. It's not only the hard ones, the soft side as well, that people should look forward, the young people should look forward to be employed by the HDA. The young graduates should be able to want to come and work for us, our structure and our image and our brand should also attract young people to come in. Leadership, framework, systems to implement the HDA's mandate. I think those are standing risk items that any organization would have to put a lot of effort into ensuring that they happen. We don't want to find ourselves in any way being doubted in terms of operating environments, in terms of risk profiles, in terms of procurement, being in the front pages of newspapers for the wrong reasons. It's the one area that we think that we will have to keep on putting maximum effort. The rest, there, Chair, are what's contained in our micro performance indicators and what's contained in our APPs and how those will translate into our MTF targets going into the future. If I have your permission, Chair, I'd like to rest my presentation there and invite comments and questions.
Thank you. The presentation is rested as per the request of Mr. Pascal Mulu. That's it, honorable members. That's the HDA, a very important entity for human settlement, a very critical entity for human settlement. So I expect you to be wide awake. Honorable Memezi, Honorable Chole. Honorable Pam, did you have your hand up? Okay. Honorable Mungangatabash.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We want to appreciate the report by Umfoka Mloi. As always, HDA is one entity that is very promising. It used to be the richer one compared to others in terms of the budget. So the biggest area that we want to ensure that the MLOI is the empowerment of those that were left behind by the apartheid era, who are still left behind by the legacy of apartheid. Now, we have just learned in our visit to provinces that although the talking in these boardrooms, in these meetings, is always very encouraging, but when we go down, we found that our people are still not empowered. For example, we went to Durban. We put nice social housing, nice. They were now being given to people who want to buy. But guess who were the estate agent who were selling those that are our own? Which one we should have given people who were not advantaged, you see? But we were still giving Van der Merwes, Van Donder, at the expense of those that were not given the opportunity. We want everybody to benefit in our new South Africa. But if Africans are still cannot even be given the easier one, social housing, the building that are sold by us, where we have participated, so why couldn't we empower them? So, which means people who we are procuring with or who are assisting us, is important that we must look into. So, you are buying a lot of land, so people that you may be using, if you are using state agent or unless you're using it direct, but there should be at least the empowerment of those that were previously not. We have black estate agents who are really crying that they are not given opportunity, even by our own government. In particular, for big issues, they are not taken care of. In all the towns, we visited all the towns, the same situation. So, which means it would be also a proper request that we must know, in terms of the goods and services, who are you dealing with? So let's see whether it's construction, whether goods and services, who you working with. It's important that we see the level, how far do you really empower now? Because this is what ought to be done. But maybe we must see what has happened, the actuals now. So if we can have the list of what has happened, who have you been empowering all along, it will give us a good idea. You see, so if you can get that details, I will say the same when the department present, but at least with HDA, because you are quite a big stakeholder, if we get to know the level of empowering, the level of transformation, it will really make us feel proud that things are happening. Not sometimes theoretically we sound good, but practically on the ground, we tend to see that things have not really changed. Sometimes people have to toy for us to realize things have not changed. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. You will hear, Mr. Moloi, that the questions that are being asked by Honorable Members are such that he wants to see you all over, because, as I have said earlier, when I made a mistake, that you are a human development agent. And those questions confirm that you are a human development agent. Honorable Stott.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation, Chairperson. This is an eye-opener. But my Chairperson is the programs that are being directed to youth and women. But there's nothing for disabled people. There's no program that is being directed to them. Why? And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of 40% minimum. According to the report, they say there's commitment to 40%. Is that achievable? Is what I want to find out. It is under programs. And then the other Chairperson is that one of GP. I'm worried about when the head office is in Gauteng. So there will be no office for Gauteng. It means that the Gauteng is going to benefit more than other provinces. How are they going to balance it? And the last one, Chairperson, is that one of hectares. According to Department of Human Settlement, there are a lot of transfers from them to Human Settlement on land. If we can get exactly how many hectares have you received from your sister, Human Settlement. Thank you, Chair.
Human Settlement or Public Works? Okay. I thought you... Well, I know you're serving on both, so that's why. Honorable Ngangakwabash.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join my colleagues in appreciating the presentation, a good presentation that has been done by HDA. Chairperson, when the CEO entered the meeting room, we were discussing the FDI's responding on our question on transformation agenda or policy thereof, whether it is in place and why we want that. And I appreciate that the presentation did cover extensively the transformation framework, which talks to what the APP of the Human Settlement presented on Tuesday, which talks about 30% on women empowerment, 40% for the black-owned emerging contractors, if you like, and even in the big one, and disabled, and the youth. And it's pleasing to see that the entities are taking that seriously and they are implementing it as being directed by the minister and the head department. So that we would then want to see that being done practically. And we'll keep on monitoring that on our quarterly, when you come to the portfolio committee and give quarterly reports, but also when we go on oversight to do our on local inspections, as it has been raised, we would like to see that we understand you are not yet having full prints in all 9 provinces, but you have a plan we've presented on your business plan, that you have a plan to although you are going to all four provinces but not yet established offices, but your footprints are there, and would like to see that what you have presented to us. And Chairperson, in appreciating the presentation, I note that the business plan modeling has been completed, which is a good milestone and an achievement. And then, Chairperson, in line with that, also I would like to get more clarity, or please unpack the direct capitalized by National Treasury, because I still want to believe that the HTA is an entity of the Department of Human Settlements. And if that is the case, is it something that is part of the minister's plan? And is it best? And if the answer is yes, maybe it might be also responded to by Nevin Chairperson, if it's that the plan of the department. Because if you are being capitalized direct by the National Treasury, I think you will be one of those independent entities, so to speak. Let me not make examples. Chairperson, on your organogram, there is a position of a command center, which is M. George. I just want to get a clarity whether George is a surname or it's a fan. So you know what I'm looking at. And then what I did not get clearly, when you talk about your contractual requirement on your list, although I did not go through all the lists, but in relation to that, I would want to get a indication whether have you signed your protocols with provinces, protocol agreement, because that did not come clear. For us, it's very important that HDA, as you have already started working with provinces and municipalities thereof, you signed protocol agreements, because if you don't do that in time, provinces will do as they please. It will be a business as usual, and then they would tend to tell you to get off at some stage if you insist on things being done in a certain way without having a protocol agreement in place. And it will slow the progress on the deliverables that you can achieve. That will impact negatively on the deliverables of the National Department of Human Settlements, as they are expected to. And on Tuesday, as a portfolio committee, we were reminding the department and the other entity that was there on that day that. And earlier on today, that our work is based on the NDP outcome 8 of the human settlements, that we have to deliver 1 million houses within the MTSF period. And the minister has scaled up that 1 million, that she wants to deliver 1.5 million. So although we said to the department
including the entities. This is the opportune time to go back to the drawing board and adjust and revise your targets. But not because you cannot deliver, that we are failing to do your job, but because of the fiscal situation in the country that is not peculiar to South Africa, that is affecting the countries of the world. So we want to, because the last question, Chairperson, is that the transformation side, the material supply is very closer to our hearts, because that's where our money goes to in terms of human settlement, housing opportunities that we deliver. 70% of the budget for projects or for programs goes to the material supply. And the transformation, that's where we want to see more transformation, but also that kind of, it will be cemented by those protocol. The metros and municipality are really big in utilizing material supply. And if those protocol agreements are not in place, then for you being a project manager for Etiquette Metro, it's widely understandable and acceptable, bearing in mind that at some stage the Department of Human Settlement gave among municipalities, metros and some municipalities, to become developers. But we do understand that there are those that don't have capacity to become developers as yet, and you have to be an implementing agency. But my question can go to Nevin as well, Chairperson, to say, how many of these six metros, well, we know we've heard from that HFE, and how many of these metros, especially the four that were established long ago, are really able to be and practice being a developer, then leading the provincial department and entities to become implementing agencies? Because it's to their benefit to be a developer than become than have the other type of the implementing agency in working in their areas. Right? So finally, Chairperson, we support the AOP that has been presented to us by the DFIs earlier on, and I think having a clarification here, we'll come back and get into that, whether we support this APP or not. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I think one, first of all, we must confirm that as we do our oversights in provinces, your presence as an entity can be confirmed, even though there are some challenges here and there, but in almost all provinces that we've been, you have been confirmed that you are alive. You are not dead yet. The only challenge that we had in Free State was that in cities that we have been, in towns that we have been, which are mining towns, which is in your portfolio, there seemed to be a confusion of your role. And I've raised this with the department as well. And we said probably the confusion could be because the leadership that has just come in after the local government election has not been appraised of what needs to happen. But there seems to have been a confusion of your role.
in the mining towns, particularly in the province of Free State. And we suggest that you correct this. We were in Machabeng. They didn't seem to know what is it that you are supposed to be doing there in relation to them. We were in Sosnolbeg. They didn't seem to... The presentation did say you've helped the municipality in acquiring land, but in terms of the mining town, the role, because this is a special project that has been proclaimed by the president. They didn't seem to... So that needs to be concretized, and so that when we come back, we proclaim 22 mining towns, and my assumption is that some of those are in Free State. But when Free State didn't seem to have a clue, it was a bit concerning to us. I'm just saying, it's something that we would love you to look at it and make sure that there is such alignment. When you came here last time, we know that the big is that you were becoming an implementing agent in many areas, and now you are a developer. But the question that was asked was the issue of the skills, the fact that you are taking so much more now of what you are doing, the technical skills that you need. Are you able to have enough? I remember that question was asked by Honorable Carter. So I just want to reaffirm that question so that you don't come back here and say we fell short in meeting our target because we didn't have enough skills. I just wanted to have that to check that. I do want to appreciate the fact that you, the last time you were here, you also promised us that you are going to give us a list of these catalytic projects. We're still waiting. So patiently, it is not funny anymore. We're waiting. A year down the line, we're waiting for this catalytic project. So we would want to have a sense, when are we getting this catalytic project, this list? We know that when department presents, they would throw one there and one there. There's a catalytic project going on. You know, Chair. But we don't get this consolidated list. So we just want to have a sense. When can we expect it? And this time around, CEO, think hard of the date you're gonna give, because you have to bring that list. If you say next week, we will come here and wait for you. So think hard. I just want to appreciate the new model that you presented in terms of the transformation aspect of it. I'm excited, but obviously we would want to see the implementation of it. It speaks to what the country needs to do in terms of the trying to transform this sector. You would know, Mr. Moloi, that even when the president did his State of the Nation address, he made it very clear that this area where we are, it needs a lot to be transformed. And I think entities can play a role in making sure that is realized. We all know that as you put the 40% black-owned, the 30% women, the entrance of the youth, and all that, that's a commitment that you make. But at some point, we need to see it being implemented and see that it's being done. So for me, one line there that said those contractors and developers that don't have this, there must be a commitment that says they will subcontract. And for me, that's very exciting. But I wanted to ask, Is it in place yet? Has it been done, or is something that you envisage to be done? So that we know. I know that you said it's still going to be presented to the minister and wara. But for me, this is something that we can't play with. It goes to the heart of what we need to be doing as this center. And it's something that we are not even going to be apologetic about it. It has to be implemented. Because if we want the previously disadvantaged individuals to actually enter this area, this what we have put in black and white needs to be implemented like yesterday. So I'm very excited, and I just want to check by when can we have it. I see you have a lot of vacancies in the new structure. And I maybe the question that one would want to know is, are those funded? Are they funded vacancies? Or are they just hoping that at some point you will get money from this department and everybody else? Are they funded? And if so, by when do you hope to fill those vacancies? Because that speaks to your mandate of then you being implementing it effectively. So I just wanted to have those sense. One area that, because whilst we're talking about this transformation, I think it's also now it's going to be critical for entities to tell us, with the high unemployment rate of the young graduates in the country, at some point each entity, when they come here, they must be able to tell us how many opportunities have they created for young people to enter, whether it's internships or learnerships, so that we have a sense of then us doing these things practically. I know I'm ambushing you, Mr. Mloyi, but it would be nice to have to understand in these regional offices that you have, is there a plan in place to make sure that we do have an absorption of young graduates, particularly that are graduated in this sector of human settlement, your quantity surveyors, your urban planners, anything. Is there a plan in place that HDA is making sure that it creates that opportunity? Thank you very much.
And honourable members for those questions. If you could just start with the first question about Nemezi. I think the point there is taken, and what we keep on saying is that, and maybe also address the point about the status of the empowerment framework at the moment. At the moment is a framework that we're putting forward for approval. We're not waiting for it to be approved as a formal document. We try as much as possible when we engage. We're engaging with five private developers at the moment, and we've given them up to the 24th of March to come back to us with an indication on what they can do and what they think about this framework. And we're hoping to be using those five as a test case that we'll then use and present to the minister as real life conversations that we've had and these are the five large ones that between them would command more than 19 private proposed projects on the ground. But I think the key point here is that we also, and linked to the point that the chair is making about young and youth development, that we also have to subject ourselves to the same framework. That I can't go into negotiations with a large developer and not demonstrate that we ourselves meet the same. And the department has challenged us to demonstrate our commitment to radical economic transformation, etc. We've made submissions the department. I'm sure the department, I'm not sure whether it was part of the discussion on Tuesday, but we have made indications on what projects who we have on our contractor database. We've got a contractor database now for the first time, a national contractor database. We've broken it down in terms of women, youth, and black. We have a database of professional service providers, so professional engineers. We've broken that down as well. We've also looked at just our goods and services. Who do we procure toilet paper from? Are they empowered? And so on. So we're beginning to attach that type of discipline on ourselves as well. 40%, I think the same response was told, that it's a proposal. We don't think it's unreasonable. It's a proposal that we're putting up there. And you know, that if people say 40% is too much, they must tell us why they think that and when they arrive at 40%. So, but we think that we cannot just say 30% black. I mean, to have a significant controlling share or controlling say in a boardroom of any entity, you need to have at least 40%. I think that's the logic, that 30% you still don't have controlling. If you don't have a control, a commanding voice in the boardroom, I'm sure people that have been in boardrooms would understand that. The disabled, yes, let's go back to that. I think it's an important point. People have raised issues about the disabled. They've raised issues about setting aside. I don't want to talk about, but you could suggest to us, I think, a chairperson. But I think it's a fair point to say that we have not included specific reference to the disabled. I don't have the exact number of land that we've acquired from the Department of Public Works. We can come back to you on that. But the discussions with Public Works is an ongoing matter, especially in this province as well, that we'll keep on identifying pieces of land that we can negotiate. Honorable Kabashe, yes. I think, yes, once the transformation and empowerment, I hope that it will be a code, and it won't be just a human settlements, I mean an HDA code. That in conversations with our colleagues and the entity, and that anything that has to do with the human settlements industry and applies to all the entities and the department itself, etc., will subscribe to the same code. So we're putting it up there not as an HDE code, but as a human settlements transformation and empowerment code, that if it's approved, then it applies to all of us, and I'm sure this body will be one of the key bodies to hold us accountable to that. Let me link the question around direct capitalization to the question that I think the chair that was, or maybe Honorable Kabasha, that was hoping that the department could also indicate on. The point about how the it works at the moment, and maybe also say that in money terms, we might see a operating budget of about 160 million. But that's all it is. It's operating budget. Okay, it pays for your salaries. It pays for your equipment. It pays for your rent. It pays for... it's not capital money. So we don't have money that allows us to deal with the capital requirements. Around bulk, for instance, around and that's the side that weakens us a bit. That at the moment you get money appropriated from Treasury to the department, and it gets transferred to the provinces, and we are at the mercy of. And you're right, Honourable Kabasha, that without those implementation protocols signed, then we're perpetuating the current arrangement. No, we are not able to get out of the current arrangement. And we think that it's not an easy question just for us to change that overnight. I think my sense is that it would require a review of your funding flows and your frameworks. It might require us putting a very strong motivation for review. It might not just affect us as an entity. Maybe there are other one or two other entities in the state that would benefit DORA being reviewed, especially in terms of your intergovernmental fiscal flows. As they move at the moment, they don't allow us the flexibility and the power to be able to. We won't get out of the department. But let's remind ourselves that Minister kept on saying that she wants a prasa of human settlements development. But I think, okay, a sabra. Okay, but I think the sense was that it's that amount of flexibility, being able to meet a large mandate and carry it. And I'm sure the handset will work reference to that word. So I think that's the point that we begin. And simply put, at the moment, there is a commitment, but the only commitment that we tried to get to, and I hope DDG Cheney would be able to support me on this, is that we can only ask for a portion of the capital allocation, your full HSDG allocation, to be ring-fenced to an extent, maybe 1% or 2% or 5%, whichever way that we can. But the internal negotiation that needed to have been communicated with Treasury at a particular time. And that's what we're trying to pursue now, looking at what's been allocated, letters of allocation for business plans that have gone to provinces, and hoping that we can be able to secure or salvage a percentage that will then push up our ops cap, if you can put it that way, to be able to manage the capital projects that are being brought to us or that we are being asked to project manage. Unfortunately, Chair, it goes to your questions about skills. That for me is always going to be a chicken and an egg. That we've made in our organogram, in our development approaches, in our institutional arrangements and our project implementation plans, we have identified the type of skills that we have. But they need to be funded. And they are not funded by your operation plan, by your operating budget. They are funded by your ops cap. So if a project is going to happen over the next 5 years, 10 years, I need to know that we'll be getting X percentage, we'll be charging 5% of professional fees, etc. And that money is the money that I require to buy high-end skills around financial, project financing, development management, engineers, etc., etc., to carry out those. What we have at head office is just your core basic supervising services, but we cannot go on site there and say that we will have men and women wearing reflector HDA jackets with their safety boots and makarapas there, being directly employed by the HDA for all these projects. Yes, we've got a few walk around PE, Gauteng, and Western Cape, we have some of those, but we need more of those. And to get more of those, we really need to have a bigger investment onto our ops cap. And we'll keep on making this point and going forward. So I'm combining a number of questions and trying to group them as we go. We've noted the points that have been made about the target. We're making our humble submission on what targets. I think you will see in our APP, we've got both services and housing targets that we're proposing. The six metros, I'm not, unless maybe I can be contradicted, the best that I've seen about the metros are them getting into special purpose vehicles, into partnerships with other, largely with private sector. But if you're talking about integrated residential development programs or projects that are driven, conceived, and delivered by a metro or a city as the developer, I don't think we can point to one. I don't even think that that would have been the intention in the first place to do that. But yes, I'm sure I might be corrected. And going forward, this is where we think that we will be partnering with them. In some instances, we'll be partnering with the provinces in some instances. We've got a number of implementation protocols signed. It's worrying that most, if not all, the provinces are sitting with the drafts that they've been sitting with for quite some months now, and we still don't have signed protocols. Interestingly, the Free State is, we sign protocols based on which municipality. We've got a protocol signed with the Free State on Dichabing. We were hoping that we would have signed off on Metsima Hulu. There were some changes, I think, in leadership there. And we're still waiting for discussions on the Vista Park and the Mangaung ones, and hopefully that we'll be able to sign. We've signed Matlosani, we've signed Mpumalanga, but the big ones, I think, around Gauteng, KZN, yes, there's a draft agreement that's now agreed and we can sign off on. But the point I think that Honorable Kabashe is making about the protocols or the failure to sign protocols being a very critical issue in getting binding projects on the ground, I think that that's taken. Chair, we'll investigate then the confusion of roles, especially in the Free State in the mining towns, and we'll come back to you. I've addressed the question about skills. We will, I think I can say this level, that we will publish the list of 45 approved catalytic projects. And as we get to approve others, remember this is an ongoing program. We had 101, but the 45 is those that we've assessed, now having implementation protocols or draft implementation protocols on. They've gone through MINMEC. MINMEC is happy with them, etc. I think that list should be made available to the portfolio committee. And maybe on a quarterly basis or as and when new projects get approved, we will update that list from time to time. If you look at that the vacancies, the critical vacancies that we want to fill, and I think from the 1st of April we'll have funding to fill, are those that are coordinating project management, etc., in the provinces, especially in the provinces where we... It's not by accident that we have a vacancy in Mpumalanga and the Northwest. Those were the two historically weak provinces in terms of the HDA's presence there anyway. That as we build and as we get more into strong relationships that are project-driven, etc., in provinces, it makes it possible for us, or it makes the argument for setting up an office there speak for itself. So, we are on the up in Mpumalanga. We have been able to sign a medium-term operating plan last month, and we will be in the process of identifying people and setting up that office. But that will be the priority for now. But the other big priority will be as and when we get capital projects allocated to us, we get the necessary operating budget to run those capital projects, and we'll use that to upskill ourselves. Chair, I hope I've responded to most of the questions, and Neville would like to add maybe.
Thanks, Chair. Just on the issue of the funding arrangements, Chair, I think the one issue around which we've had intensive discussion between National Treasury and the HDA is that, particularly in relation to the funding flows, that if you have direct funding flows from National to the HDA, you upset the entire balance, and in fact there's a constitutionality issue given the concurrence of the function between the National Department and the provinces. So what we've agreed with the HDA is that on the basis of the implementation protocols that are signed with the provinces and the municipalities, we will then ring fence. And I think it's important to note, Chair, that we must be always cognizant about this fact, that there's political and there's administrative responsibilities between ourselves and the municipalities and the provinces. And I think we must be very, very careful in the way that we manage that so that we don't create political conflicts or even administrative conflicts in terms of what the PFMA, what the Constitution and what the MFMA speaks about. So we've been, and I think we've come to a neat agreement that the HDA, and I think as the CEO has said, one of the conditions that we've said is that the HDA must sign implementation protocols on each of those catalytic projects or whatever, with the province, with the municipality, and ourselves, which allows us to then for those funding flows. It doesn't necessarily mean that we can be held ransom by those provinces or municipalities, because I think the issue is that ultimately minister has the prerogative in consultation with MINMEC to determine how those funding flows work within the current framework. So that's it. Chair, on the ability of the municipalities to undertake the development, I think the issue is that we've indicated, you know, there's a lot of finger pointing that has occurred. And I think this is the one of the issues that we need to be able to. So it's the chicken and egg situation. Do you ramp up the ability of the HDA to undertake implementation, and then it doesn't have the projects and the programs to implement. And we've got to be able to. And what we're doing is, we're looking at the contradiction between the accreditation and the obsession with assignment, and the fact that we've got to be able to capacitate the HDA. Our view is that there needs to be an overhaul of the sector, and I think we've agreed that the national department must play a role in that, because ultimately minister accounts for those things together with the DG. And one of the things that we've said is that we must utilize the HDA. So I think it's important to note that in doing so, both minister and DG have put the HDA on terms. Get your capacity sorted out. Make sure that you are able to deliver, and you have the reputation. Because I think there's a lot of noise. Then I think the issue is that, and maybe Pascal used the wrong entity, but minister had indicated that we should try and benchmark ourselves against SANRAL, because in many respects SANRAL has, outside of just, you know, one issue which was never the issue, SANRAL have demonstrated the ability to act on behalf of a national department to implement national programs in concurrence with provinces, and I think that's what we want to be able to do. So that's it. Chair, I think the issue is on the issue of transformation. One of the things that we minister has in writing indicated to the HDA, there are 6 non-negotiable transformational issues that must be dealt with. And that's the issue around women, that's around youth, that's around black, not participation only, but at a contractor level, but across the board. Because one of the things that you find is that it's fine to have contractors, and even if we go through the material supply, but what about the one of the big criticisms against government and its use of professionals? We're talking about planners, we're talking about project managers, we're talking about the whole range of them. It should not only be, but it must also extend to that sphere. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I think we can say it's work in progress, but we're quite comfortable with the progress that is being made so far, but that we will have to watch it closely and be able for them to come to report periodically to see what progress is made. But otherwise, I think we're happy.
Thank you, Chairperson. Having received the clarifications, and then with our amendment that we instruct the HDA to amend its APP on the transformation framework that deals with disabled people with living with disabilities, as it is stated by the National Department of Human Settlements APP. With that, we support the APP of the entity. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. In other words, the percentage, Pascal, use the one that the National Department is using. That's what we are saying. And National Department is using the one that the Public Service has committed. Is it?
Yeah, as we indicated, we set a minimum.
Yes.
So there's nothing wrong with the HDA saying that it's 40. And
no,
we can live with
about
that.
People with disabilities.
With, oh, the disability, yeah, that's the legislated one.
People with disabilities can't be.
No, it's the, no, sorry, it's the legislated one, Chair. Thanks, you're correct.
Yes, the legislative one, yeah.
No, that's fine, Chair. We'll break a few legs.
Yeah. Thank you so much. With that, then, that takes us to the end. It wasn't that difficult. You see, I'm not a remember. It wasn't that bad.
We were finishing before 12 o'clock because Hungry wanted five.
Thank you so much. That takes us to the end. The meeting is adjourned. It's quarter past 11. The meeting is adjourned. We're not having a meeting next week, I repeat. Don't come here and say you are coming to the Portfolio Committee meeting. Our next meeting is on the 28th, on Tuesday, where we are dealing with the remaining four entities. Very serious entities. Remember, that week of the 28th, there is no sitting. So if the meeting decides to go beyond one, don't cry for me. There's no sitting at two.
Outside of this, but for all members, check 28th, the certification
ceremony. It's the 29th.
I got a shipping in the website.
Yeah, Neville.
Okay. 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 Okay